was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast number 74, coming to you live and exclusive from the banks of the River Shore, Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we're answering a question that's been in the news lately. Would we join the Defence Forces?
He's got more nick than Gerlach Nan. Well, that wouldn't be hard, in fairness. But Noel Furlong will be in the house poking out his weekly news.
She's finally getting ready to hand over her Miss Clare crown. Lauren is in the hot seat and ready to grill us with her mystery topic.
Smacks has nearly got a tan. He's been watching so much Love Island. He'll be here with all the antics from the villa this week.
And we finish the podcast with our weekly segment that's as traditional as getting the shift at the Gael Talked. It is, of course,
Yurt and Dirt.
Don't forget, if you're a new listener to the podcast, make sure you go back to the start and listen from there. It'll make much more sense. It's available on Acast, Apple and Spotify, and also check out the2johnnies.ie for more content and tour dates. Now, before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Well, regular listener Nan Jinglu has been in touch regarding Noel's news. And this is about the Ross the Dreadhead car boot sales from last week. And she says, I don't know if there actually is a Ross the Dreadhead car boot sale, because you never can tell with Noel, but my friend, who's a glam Limerick city bird, is married to an absolute Ross the Dreadhead mountain man. He's from a sheep farm and breeds ferrets. I called in one night to her because we were going out, and he was like, come out to the shed and I'll show you my ferret, Rita. So out I went in my lovely going out glam clothes to a shed out the back of a house in Limerick to admire ferrets. He's sound, but my God, he's fair raw. And lads, that's Ross the Dreadhead for you.
Admire ferrets. I thought that was a euphemism for like, you know, do you want to come out and see me ferret?
Filth. And we can tell you all of Noel's news stories are facts.
Facts, they are all true. Maeve Hogan has also been in touch with a matter arising from last week's podcast when Johnny was explaining the gifts that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has been given by the American ambassador. And Maeve said, well, lads, listening to the podcast last week and just on the bit about the gifts and where Leo puts them, I was in the Dáil on my work experience in transition year and got to have a look around Leo's office as he was out for the day. I even got a photo in his chair.
Oh!
Anyway, there's a big glass cabinet outside his office where he keeps all the gifts he gets on state visits. There's completely mental shit in there, like swords from the King and Queen of Malaysia. It's mad. So I'd say that's where the new gift will be going. Now, Lauren, we wanted you to check this out. We wanted to see, what's the crack? Where does Leo put the stuff?
Yeah, so I tried to find this out, and all I could find out was that he doesn't have to declare any gifts that are above or that are below €650 worth. Mm. But what I could tell, or all I could figure out, is that any of the gifts that he's given have been like Irish soccer jerseys or books, yeah, quite low cost things.
So basically, what you figure out is Leo is a miserable.
But I think though that he probably gets to keep them, but if they're of any proper worth, I would imagine they stay in that.
They go in the glass cabinet if they're worth that, and Aunt Elsie's bringing home.
I'd love to see what Charlie High got.
You can still buy them on Dundee, I'd say.
And we loved the correspondence last week's pod about Lauren so much that we had to put this one in. This is from Daryl Lynch, who says, well, lads,
I didn't see this in the running order.
Good.
I was listening to the podcast on the topic of Smacks taking up golf. I'm a Kilnall man living in Limerick for work. It causes the fridge to wire, he says. Anyway, I play golf off a handicap of 2, and I was disgusted when Lauren said that she went to a driving range last week and it was all just a load of elderly men. Lauren's quote. When our texter here was in the hitting bay right beside you, Lauren. He's 19 years of age, and he said he's not going to lie, he was kind of half peeking over the shoulder to have a gawk at Lauren any chance he could. He was going to go over and give him a few tips, but he says she was actually so bad that I felt I couldn't have helped her at all. She looked hopeless. That's nice, isn't it? And as for you, Smacks, he says he'll come down and give you a few tips anytime. And he says that it is mentally testing sport, but a great stress reliever, Johnny.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Kieran Casey is in line for an Noel's News mug with this genius bit of correspondence relating to Dayton and where people listen to the podcast from 2 weeks ago. He says, hey lads, just regards when you were looking to hear from people who listen in different places around the world. I listen on my commute to work in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I have a good one on the whole Dayton relationship angle. Because it's so diverse culturally here, It's not uncommon to have mixed cultural relationships, whether Indian, Chinese, Malaysian, etc. Anyway, a mate of mine, Alan from Dublin, is going out with a lovely Indian girl here for like 4 years. And he was telling me the story of the first time he met her parents, in particular her father. He was having a pint with him and everything was going well. Alan is a Northside dub, so he's a real, how are you, buddy, accent. Anyway, in the middle of the conversation, the first time he met the father, he blurts out, Asher, you know yourself, you only live once. And the father replied, well, we don't actually believe that. He got away with it. I fell around the place laughing when I heard that only the Irish would get away with it. So basically,
they believe in reincarnation.
They're Hindus, are they? Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Wow, they believe in reincarnation. You only live once. Yeah, kill.
No,
kill.
Is it 13 times, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it 13?
I think
I'd
so.
Be
yeah.
wrecked.
Something like that. We'll get on to that. Shane Spillane from Fermoy reckons the podcast is a lifesaver. Literally, he says. Well, lads, I was listening to last week's pod while I was driving home from work. I was effing wrecked after stacking square bales for the boss and I needed some cheering up. So I threw on the podcast and just as Noel's news was coming on, I decided to slow down because I know the crack with Noel. And sure enough, just as Noel started talking, a woman came flying around the corner of the road and smashed into the side of my car. Both cars written off. But nobody was seriously hurt, thank God. I later found out that if I had been another 3 feet further up the road, I would have been dead in a head-on collision. So long story short, Noel's news saved my life.
Wow.
Damn.
And I'm just wondering, if he hadn't slowed down and just stayed driving, would he have avoided the accident altogether?
No, man, look, just take
just take the credit here.
Yeah, take the credit. Look, this podcast is saving lives. Some people think we discriminate against Offaly in this podcast. And just to show we don't, the next piece of correspondence is from Alex, who is actually an Offaly man. And Alex says, I have an absolute chicken noodle soup of a story for you. I told you, fucking weird and awfully. I was getting an MRI scan last week on my knee in Santry and your one said this'll take 30 minutes and asked was there anything in particular I'd like to play it on my headphones. And I said, oh, do you have any of the Two Johnnies podcast? She said, actually, that's a very popular request. So I continued to listen and then I heard Johnny Smacks talking about priests and almost passed out with laughter. Next thing I know, an alarm is going off and there's 3 or 4 doctors around me. They thought I was having a seizure. Safe to say that doctor hated me after that. One of the trainees said to send it into the boys in the hope of a mug.
He's having a fit. He's having a fit.
He's taking a fit.
He's having a fit.
I'm not.
And we couldn't have correspondence without a Samba soccer story. This has been the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, yes.
Samba soccer. And here's another classic one from D in Derry. All right, Johnnies, I've got a Samba soccer story for you. When I was a young lad, I was obsessed with the Brazil team. So I was always begging my ma and da to do Samba soccer. This is the soccer summer camp. My dad used to always say, no, you can't go to that. It's all a load of shite. Anyway, they aren't even Brazilian. I soon realised my dad was biased because he was part of the local soccer district committee and that the two organisations hated each other. Anyway, one year my ma relented and let me go and I was so excited. The first day we were told that we'd have a special guest appearance from a former Brazilian professional footballer. So the end came.
This is fucking brilliant.
So the whole, all the lads line up to meet this Brazilian and out he comes from the changing room in full Brazil kit. He comes up shaking hands with all the kids but not saying a lot. It was only when he got to shake my hand, I looked the man right in the face. And didn't I realise it was my very own father in a curly wig.
Oh, Sam the soccer lad, it can't be bet. And lastly, Carl on Snapchat wanted to have his say on one of the longest running correspondences to date, I'd say. Well, Johnny Boy, just in relation to your ongoing soccer team name saga, the older boys in our village used to play in a football league every week and it was a fairly serious affair. Every few months they'd start a new season and the recruitment period for the Sporting Lesbians and FC Copenbadly would begin. That's obviously Sporting Lisbon and FC Copenhagen there. There was one lad who played as a striker fairly often, but he was also on disability allowance. One time, the fella that was over the local area for the disability allowance drove past the pitch and spotted our so-called disabled striker. He noticed this and played the rest of the game with a savage limp. And a permanent wince on his face. Oh, lads, I swear to God, there are some crazy people out there. But Who's going to win the Noel's News mug that's kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merchandise? It's a tough one this week.
Yeah.
I'm torn now, really, between the Samba soccer story, the MRI story, and even that last one there now of soccer team names. What are you thinking?
That last one is very good.
Mm.
I like the MRI story, Alex Schmoffley.
Yeah, it probably costs extra to post off.
Passport control. I like the Dan, the curly wig. Johnny.
Yeah.
I also like the last one, FC Copen Badly.
Do you want to go with that one, so?
Happy enough, Lauren?
Happy enough.
Okay.
Okay, Carl on Snapchat. I think you got that one, Johnny B. You'll be in touch with him. So, Carl on Snapchat, you've got the Noel's News mug for yourself. Fair play to you.
That is kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, and thanks so much for your correspondence. Now, Johnny.
The weekly roundup, Johnny. What's been going on with the two Johnnies this week?
So we covered summer camps on our podcast a couple of episodes ago, and this week the two Johnnies volunteered at the Care GAA summer camp. This is not a cool camp. This is a rogue organization. And a photo went up of me. So we had to warm the kids up, and it was rainy. It was tough. And we said we'd play a bit of Stuck in the Mud.
Mm.
Great game to warm up. And they weren't enthusiastic about it. So I was like, right, I'll play.
Yeah.
So the guys who were chasing had to wear bibs. So I put on the bib. The bib is for the under 10s. I looked like Apollo Creed in Rocky 4. In Rocky 3, where he's running down the beach.
Absolutely buried to your left.
It's like a crop top bra. Do you know, like, the Tyrone lads take off their jerseys and they're wearing the black kind of bra yokes with the
no sat nav. Yeah. GPS.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, very enjoyable. I woke up after Johnny had informed me that he had volunteered us for the summer camp. To my joy, I woke up the next morning to find it was absolutely pissing rain. And I was like, surely they'll call off the summer camp. You know, the kids, oh no, not in Care. It's a brilliant summer camp where red tape and health and safety, you know, just don't be considered at all. It's brilliant, you know. Okay. And we were thinking, will we do a quick video? And we're like, no. It's basically closed down.
It's a big problem, lads. I'm not going to lie. Some of them under 14s and under 12s are little pricks.
Oh yeah.
And like we said, we just start with a few basics, a few pickups and hand passes and catches and bats, and we're playing hurling. And they acted like they knew everything. I said to them, lads, there's no point in me being here because you know it all. And then it came to a simple drill, striking back to hand, and they were all dropping it.
Yeah. Johnny was saying to them, gee, you must have won everything. How many medals have you? And like, they've never won that.
That quieted them then.
Yeah, that quieted them for a while. But that's the thing, they think they know everything. It's that fucking YouTube age and phones. And
were we that bad when we were young?
I don't think so. I would never answer anyone back. And they were answering us back. And like, I couldn't help. But like, I could feel the red mist was coming on me. Like, and I just had to say, Johnny, I think we'll move on to another group before I fucking knock a 14-year-old out cold here.
Well, I'd put Max in goal. And then I was kind of showing them how to go past someone. And they wouldn't listen. And I was like, I'm holding the hurley in my right hand. So if you go up my left hand, that's my shoulder and shoulder. And I was like, you know, maybe show for that one and go for the hurley. And then a couple of lads said they'd be smart and take me on at your shoulder and shoulder, which is the left one. I fucking nailed him.
I was in goal screaming at Johnny, not in handy now, not in handy, give me not in handy.
I turned three or four lads upside down with shoulders, under 12s.
We went up to the under 8s then, and we let them, like, it was like a penalty shootout. They were taking shots at me. And this was football. I just said, I jump in goal. It was brilliant. I was proper Peter Schmeichel in it. Because they were kicking it so slow, but it was accurate. Like, so it was going in the top corner, but it was going so slow that I could manage to jump across and do a big camera save, tip it over the bar, and I had to go for physio then because my shoulder was in bits last night.
You were absolutely diving, and you tip it wide going, ah!
Yeah, doing the sound effects and everything. That was the summer camp, but great. And I have to just to finish on this topic, anybody who helps out in juvenile clubs, I think we said it on our social media during the week, they deserve statues and knighthoods, whatever they can get, they deserve it because they have some patience. After I came home, I literally took two Panadol and lay down in a quiet room. I was melted from it, absolutely melted.
I came home and got a vasectomy. I'm never having children after that.
Oh, brilliant. Also, this week, we were talking about a little bit last week, we were preparing to go to Westlife, and we went to Westlife. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, it was the best night of my life. Period. That's it. Like, you know, nothing will ever compare to that. There was 80,000 people there, but every one of them were so happy.
Yeah.
It was a weird environment to be in. Like, you know, normally if you go to Longitude or something, it's probably a couple of cunts who want to scrap and someone wants to get fingered and someone else is off their head on drugs. Like, everybody, it was like one big hen party.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. And obviously, the fact that we were in a box made it all the better. And thanks to Raphael, who waited on his hand and foot. At one stage, I was standing out like in the box watching it and dancing away. And next thing, I just felt the pint glass being taken out of my hand. And I was like, what? Turned around, it was Raphael. He's like, one more? I was like, yes, please, thank you. Went in, filled it up and put it back in my hand. I was like, this is the business. This is.
Westlife, you know me, I'm not a Westlife fan. I'd be more into heavy metal. I did enjoy it as an experience. Very well run concert. For about 40 minutes before Westlife came on stage, they had real feel-good tunes, all big sing-along numbers. They had like the cha-cha slide.
And everyone was doing it.
Everyone was doing it. And the Macarena, and everyone was doing it. So everyone was
Sweet Caroline.
So everyone was in a really good mood when Westlife came on. So it was a really well-managed event. Lights were good, fireworks were good, sound was great. So I appreciated it as a spectacle. And I have to say, I have a newfound respect for Shane Filan.
Yeah.
He's a really good singer.
He's a class singer. Yeah.
He's a really good singer. He stood out for me now, yeah. To be honest. Man the match.
I brought my mother, and father as well. My mother rang me next day and said, John, I felt 20. Yeah. I felt 20 again. And she's not fucking 20, I'll tell you. No, but a great night. Great night had by everyone. And
now, Johnny Smacks.
Yes.
Last week you talked about taking up golf. Yeah. Have you taken it up?
I've talked a lot about it this week with a lot of people. I've been getting some good advice. I had a couple of golfers on to me as well, and a fellow locally who's a golf pro has agreed to give me a few lessons.
Okay.
FOC, and my first lesson is this Monday.
Okay, yeah. we shall await your review of golf.
So I'm if there's anybody out there actually selling a good set of clubs for cheap and done deal,
but you don't know if you want left or right handed yet.
Yeah, I think I'll buy both. No. He told me I'm left-handed.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm left-handed. So if there's anybody selling left-handed clubs on Dundeel, do contact me, lads.
And I'm heading to Croke Park to see Corkle Kenny and Tip Leash. Mm-hmm. And I'm just afraid to predict any of these games. So I hope it's a good weekend of hurling.
Topic number one. Did you know Defence Forces personnel are the lowest paid workers in the public service? This has led to falling numbers in terms of recruitment and retention. With this in mind, it got us thinking and chatting. Would we join the army?
Hang on. They're lowest paid in the public service?
Yes.
Lower than the boys on the road with the county council?
Are they technically public service? Like, they're lower than the shades. Do you know what I mean? The fuzz.
Or the guards.
The 5-0.
They'd be government officials here. The guys here with the county council.
Yeah.
They're government officials.
They are in
No,
their
I
say
like, they aren't government officials.
They're gurriers, lad.
I know, easy on the county council. You know, I used to work there.
Would we join, John? Would you join?
Well, at the moment, they say the full strength of the Army, the Navy, the Air Corps combined should be 9,500, but it's now down 1,000.
Okay.
So this is the lowest point since numbers were increased in the 1970s, ever since the Troubles were kicking off at that time. So, Johnny, right, before we know whether we would join the army or not, what did the army actually do?
What did they do?
What time were they doing it at?
Who are they going doing it with?
That's if they're going to do that at all. Right, to defend the Irish state against armed aggression. It's probably like ICA protests at the moment, but it could be, there could be terrorism, right? And you wouldn't know. See, that's the thing. We'll all be slagging the army going, you're only an old summer camp, you know what I mean? Then if ISIS invade, you'd be like, hey Mick, you're in the army. Out you go.
Sort us out, Mick. Sort us out.
And then there's also like, if there's a flood or there's a snow or anything like that.
Yeah, they'll be throwing sandbags and doing a bit of ploughing.
Yeah. No, they used to do the cash vans. They don't do the cash vans anymore.
Seemingly, an army insider told us that the banks didn't want to pay the money for the army. So now they get a private security firm to go around and dish out the money.
And I'll tell you, the banks have the money.
And they have it, lads. They have it.
If there's a state visit, remember like the Queen would be coming over, Trump or someone. The arm would, what?
Well, the army, boy, they'd be in the ditch.
The army are in the ditch.
They're in the ditch. You don't even know they're there.
And the face painted.
Yeah.
And the camouflage on.
And the guards are looking good then. They're all flexed on the side of the road.
And high-vis.
High-vis, looking good.
Eating potatoes.
Yeah, and the poor poor army boys are inside, shitting in a hole, inside in the ditch. Bad form.
They do armed watch at prisons. Mm. So we heard that you do a 2-month stint. It's like 3.5 days a week on, 3.5 days a week off. So you and another crew are over and back 24 hours a day. And when you're in there, there's no phones and you get fed in prison and all. And then you could be escorting prisoners to hospital, or if there's a dangerous prisoner from like terrorism or gangs or whatever, you'd be escorting them from court to the prison. They do a lot of courses.
Yeah.
Training.
Upskilling.
They might have to do, I don't know. karate. They do a lot of courses, like weapons and all that. They'd be prepping for when they're going overseas.
Yeah, obviously these courses are helping them for, you know, their operations overseas, I would imagine.
For what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And where they're going to do it. And then they have their overseas missions. So this is described as to participate in multinational peace support, crisis management. I do a bit of that myself.
And sorry, lad, that's only on Sundays.
Humanitarian relief. That's when Johnny Smacks is hungover. I bring him the Haagen-Dazs, the humanitarian relief.
He drops the parcel into the backyard. It comes down. Haagen-Dazs and sweet chili sensations coming down. Coming down. Oh, lovely. That's grand. That's be Sunday. Chicken roll as well.
Okay, so we've looked into some of the positives and negatives of joining the army. The big negative, Johnny Smacks, that we talked about, the first thing that came to mind, the chance of dying.
Yeah, like, you know, people, it's all well and good, you know, people saying, oh yeah, like, you know, I love Ireland, I love Ireland. And would you die for Ireland? You know what I mean? Would you die for your country? Now, I know the chances of dying in the Irish army would be like a lot less than if you're an American. You're nearly guaranteed. You know, no, but you know, you're nearly, if you're in the army, you're probably going to go to some sort of a war.
Yeah, you're going to see a bit of action.
You're going to see a bit of action. And probably in the UK, a higher chance as well. Yeah. But in Ireland, there's probably not that high a chance. But still, at the same time, it's dangerous stuff.
Wicked.
If you're going out there to Chad or, you know, Vietnam or wherever it is now that they're doing the peacekeeping stuff.
Lebanon.
Yeah, Lebanon. Middle that East. Was the word.
They're in the Golden Heights.
Yeah, hey, that's no joke.
That's worse than the Swan and the Davins in Carrick.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, but that's what happens. So you're walking the line all the time, and that would be in my head because I have a terrible fear of dying. Yeah. So it freaks me out. So that would be my thing. I'd be like, oh, don't know about dying.
Just on the dying, the last military debt in Ireland of an Irish soldier was 2007. Mm-hmm. And that was overseas. There don't be too many Irish soldiers killed in Ireland, thank God. And in total, there has been 86 deaths in the Irish military. 26 in the Congo. Congo's a rough spot, lad. 9 in Cyprus.
No, they're just on holiday out in Cyprus.
Yeah, I thought very weird.
9 in Cyprus, 2 in the Middle East, and 46 in the Lebanon.
Wow.
Yeah, so God rest them. That's tough going. That would scare me off going.
That would definitely scare me.
But now the big thing that would not suit Johnny Smacks is...
hard training.
The training.
Like, I'm hard set to train for our junior A hurling team. You know, I'll find the grass is too hard, or the ground's too hard, you know, too hot. Training's not good enough, too cold, injuries, the whole lot. This is serious training. Now, we talked to a young lad from our club is in the army.
Yeah.
And we asked him, you know, what are you doing there for the first 17 weeks of training? And he said, oh, you'd be out fucking going through fields and sleeping, digging holes for yourself to sleep in and shitting in holes, and you know what, it's grim. And as soon as he said the training is hard, I was like, I'm gone already. And then when he told me the rest, I was like, my God. And it turns out, and only talking about this, it brought it back to me that many years ago when I was a butcher in Super Value, and like my wages, I wasn't on much money and I didn't have much job prospects, you know, I thought like, this is it for the rest of my life. I was like, right, it's the guards or the army. Because I'm thinking like, steady wage, you know, healthcare, get a pension then and stuff like that. So it was the guards or the army. Now, I'd be a savage guard because I'm half a prick anyway.
You have enough neck.
And I have that mutton head on me, you know, that mutton head. That's me, big steak neck.
Man,
on me.
Man, you would have been such a bad guard.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Imagine me pulling you over. Oh,
you would be writing the penalty points with one hand and wanking with the other hand.
Loving the power.
How'd you know how fast you were going?
You're done. I know it's Sunday, but I don't care. Anyway, it was the guards or the army, and the guards weren't recruiting. So I went for the army.
You went for the army?
So I properly applied, yeah. I actually rang a fella we know from Care, and he's in the army, and I was like, what's the story? And he was like, oh, it's not for everyone. And I just thought like, oh, he's just saying that. And I said, what he was really trying to say was, there's no way you last in the army. But I applied, and I got the date for my physical.
Okay.
And thankfully, I had a knee operation the week before, and I couldn't do it. So that was the end of my army dream. I got a couple of letters then, been like rescheduling, and I was like, nah.
But were you aware of what the fitness test for the army is?
Yeah, I knew what it was. I'd manage that. I genuinely think I'd manage that. It's...
Whoa, let's do it. Not right now, like, but...
Well, I'm not doing it now, right now.
So, you have to have a BMI...
I'd struggle on the BMI.
...of less than 29.
Yeah.
You have to do 20 push-ups in a minute.
That's grand.
Then 20 sit-ups in a minute. And then you have to run 2.4 kilometers in less than 11 minutes, 40 seconds.
But you know, I think I'd be fine with all that. I was obviously a little bit fitter back when I applied for it.
Yeah.
But the BMI, I get that alright. The run would be grand, because I do this thing when I'm running anyway. At GA training. I pretend there's someone following me. Do you ever do that? No, maybe I'm just the only person who does that. But you know when you're young and say like you're running and stuff, like you're running, that's fine. But if you're after Bobby knocking someone's house,
the man is going to get you.
Or the shades are following you. I'm telling you now, you get this new gear of speed, I would say. Like it's like sixth gear, turbo, man, NOS.
It's like your inner self kicks in like, oh, remember like back in the day when lions and tigers used to chase? Adrenaline.
Fight or flight.
That's what it is. And you get faster. So now like sometimes if I'm at GA training, I know like, right, this is the last one, put it in. Then I'd be thinking, right, something's chasing me now. Some serial killer's chasing me.
The man is going to take you
away.
That's
it then. The vein pops in me head. Vein comes out me, deciding me forward, and that's it. Gianluca Vialli job, lad. I'm tearing away. So I think that's what I do for the army. That 2.4K, I'd be like, right, serial killer after me now. And then you just adrenaline kick in, take you through.
The bit that I hate about the army training is that they send you out with a backpack on your back and you're carrying a big heavy machine gun and you're running around and you're putting up tents and digging a hole that you have to shite in and you're sleeping outside and you're getting wet and I'm telling you, they're going to be damp socks and damp shoes and, you know...
Tissels and thorns.
Oh, there's going to be old pneumonia and old bunions and blisters and old calluses and old hard skin in your feet and your hands will get wet then and then like the bottom of your sleeves will get wet and then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Can I just interject there? You know when they shit in the hole?
Yeah.
Like, do they bring Tyler all with them?
I'd say, so our mate in the army was saying, you have a bag and you can pretty much bring whatever you want within reason, but you have to carry it.
Yeah, but Tyler was light enough.
Yeah, it's supposed to take up a room.
Yeah, but like, you know when they wipe, where do they put the Tylerol then? Is Tylerol biodegradable? Yeah. Are the army doing their bit for keeping this world green?
They're not using dock leaves.
Yeah. I was just wondering that, like what do they do?
Yeah, I think that they have a system of looking after.
There you go. Now there's a question.
Yeah, it's camping outside. No.
Camping outside like, won't work well for you. You used to say to me, like, I'd be like, you coming for a game of five aside down the Astro? And you'd be like, no, it's drizzling. I don't want to get cold. You have a woolly hat on in summer, lad. You are the coldest crater I've ever seen.
Hey, you won't even camp at Electric Picnic.
Hey, close that window. Oh, freezing. What's the story with the AC in the car there? That's freezing. Oh, the man is constantly cold. You wouldn't last 10 seconds out in the army, lad.
You won't even camp at a festival.
You get cold. Bring your mammy. Oh, bring out the Kleenex, mammy. I have a runny nose.
Go away. I can't get you to use a porta cabin. Never mind. They're talking about digging holes. It's the pure hardship.
Oh, it's absolute hardship.
The army, I have respect for them, lads. It's pure hardship. Yeah, yeah. And the other big problem is fellas shouting in your face.
I'm not the best disciplined man in a lot of aspects.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But I can't, like, so if I get woke up from my sleep,
yeah,
you better get out of here, whoever it is. Like, you want to, if you're waking me up, do it from 40 feet away.
Right.
Because if I can catch you, that's it. But like, odds are most of the time I won't be able to catch you. But some fella shouting at you now at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then you having to go on, like, you know, a run through a forest or something. I think I'd cry. I'd be just like, get me mother, I'm done. Tell her pick me up.
And it's also kind of pointless in that, like, you know, the barracks is not on fire.
Mm.
You'd be looking at the drill sergeant going, do you know, can we just take a rain check? I'll do the run, but like, you know, maybe around 11:30.
But that's my
after we've all had a nice breakfast.
My thing is, like, I begin up saying, you want me to run through forest now because you decided.
Yeah.
Because you decided. Like, there's no other reason. Barry, you said, oh yeah, I'm going to torture these fuckers now 4 o'clock in the morning.
It does build character.
Oh, I would hate it so much. That's when I'd run, I'd be sulking every step. Like, shit, go on running through this. No, this fella getting on my back. Tears be running down me. I'd be running out pure, what's that called? Hatred, yeah. Hatred. That's what it'd be.
Do you think though that if you knew you were going into war, Like the way the US Army know they're going into a really conflicted area, and they need, they know they need to be able to deal with those kind of conditions, that it would make the training a little bit easier because you're preparing for an end goal. Whereas the Irish Army,
some respect,
you're like,
any,
why am I bothered?
Some respect to anybody who goes abroad and fights for the country, and the Irish boys who do the peacekeeping. That's no joke. Just thinking about it, I'd be so afraid. I actually wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I would not be able to do it.
To go abroad?
No. Like, I don't like being, like, you know, 2 weeks in Lanzarote is probably the longest I'll leave.
Like, for, if we go to a new restaurant, it's an issue. Yeah. I can't imagine him, you know, sleeping in a tent in the Congo. Oh, the service here is very bad.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary. It's the unknown would freak me out.
And I'm telling you, a mate of mine was in the army and he was down in Chad. And, like, you know, he'd be out doing patrols at night in the dark.
Yeah.
And you hear all the African boys shouting and all that. And it'd be scary stuff. Do you ever see that movie, Siege of Jadotville? It's on Netflix.
No, I've heard of it, though.
Irish peacekeepers. Lads, watch that. Very scary. Can we move on to the positives?
Yeah, go on. Sorry, I feel like we're bashing it here. We're not.
We're not,
like,
bashing it.
We're just genuinely interested. And also, I am very frightened at the thoughts.
Twine. The money isn't great, but it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's hard to get fired from the army.
I think there was a big uptake in people wanting to join the army in and around when the boom ended, the last boom ended.
Recession.
Yeah, and people were struggling to get jobs. And then you were getting jobs, but you weren't permanent, and you had no guarantees, really. You know, if you have a mortgage, the one thing you want is steady money coming in every week. And that's what the army, the navy, whatever, the defense forces can provide for you, you know.
Yeah.
Money. That's what you do a lot of things in life for.
My question is being in the army prestigious?
I can guarantee you, you know, if you're a fella in the army and you're in good nick and you tell a young one you're in the army, she's going to love it.
Lauren?
I don't know.
You're the one fucking exception, so Lauren.
Hang on, what do you think? If a guy said he was in the army, is it a prestigious job or?
I don't think it is in Ireland.
What if he was an officer?
What do you mean an officer? Like a high-ranking army official?
Corporal.
Probably would. A man in a uniform is never a bad thing.
To all the men out there in the army who are thinking about getting with Lauren, forget about it, lads. She said it's not prestigious. Yeah, she'd rather a fella who works weekends in Tesco's.
No, I think if a guy said, like, we know now from the research that they wouldn't be on huge money, but I still think it is prestigious if someone is like, oh, this is my mate, or some woman, this is my son. He's a corporal in the army or a sergeant. I think that's...
You have to admire the effort they've put into the training and that they've gotten to that level as well. So there's two sides. I've never really spoken to anyone at depth with regards to the army and their going on.
Absolute disrespect.
I would say it is, yeah. Like if I was in the army now, my mother would be going around town telling everyone, like, that's my son, he's in the army. Definitely. Like, she's doing it at the moment anyway. Like, and I'm only telling a few jokes.
But there's something about the Irish army. Nobody can say the Irish Army doing bad. If you're in America, there's this on-running debate of, you know, support our troops. And then other people are like, we shouldn't be in Iraq. You know, but like nobody can say the Irish shouldn't be doing the peacekeeping or that the Irish lads shouldn't be rescuing grannies in the snow. Like, the Irish Army don't put a foot wrong, in fairness to them.
Yeah, they're good
lads.
That's
very true.
Good lads and ladies. You know?
Sound lads, the whole lot of them. The other thing, can we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Pension. 21 years service and you are eligible for an army pension.
It's a strange one, because when you say to me years ago, you know, you think about the future, think about your pension. I was like, what are you talking about, man? I'm 23.
What about?
And I'm thinking about pension?
I ain't got a future.
Yeah, do you know? And now it's like, all you kind of want is a pension. Like, I took a pension out a few months ago. Like, and I was like, wow, like, you know, I'm going to have to start thinking about the future. And especially if you want to have a decent future and not be miserable and broke, you need a decent pension, and where better to get it than the army, lad?
Never. I refuse to plan for the future. It's based on, like, the amount you get in your army pension then is based on the rank
you achieve,
and your earnings throughout your career. But it's changing. From now on, if you join the army, you will have to be 65 years of age to get the pension, which is a dose.
And that wasn't always the way.
No. It was 21-year service.
Yeah, 21-year service. So you could go in, do your 21 years, get out, get your service. And then you could... What a lot of people would have done was get in, do your 21 years, get out, take your pension, and then get it like a little part-time job that you could tip away with.
Yeah.
And then you're happy, content, doing a little bit, getting a few bob, live out the rest of your days.
It's nice. I think the minimum age was 50 for a while. But other positives, discipline.
Yes.
There's probably lads out there that could do with a belt of the army to straighten them out. Gurriers. As my mother would say, gougers.
Gougers.
Gougers round the town there, kicking empty cans and fag butts round the town up to no good. They could all do with a shot in the army now.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of the stories you hear is like, oh yeah, I was on the wrong side of the tracks and the army straightened me out, and it makes them a better person. And it's not for everyone, but for a lot of people, it can definitely be a good outlet like that to change your life. It's perfect. Perfect for people like that.
Do you think anyone still joins for patriotic reasons?
Not in Ireland.
Yeah, I don't think we're a very patriotic country. When it comes to like sport, we are, but...
I mean, I don't know if we're patriotic. I think we just kind of hate England.
Like, you go to America and they have an American flag outside every single house and they adore their anthem and...
I lived in a house once and we, I was telling you, in Dunshaughlin, and we stuck an Ireland flag in the front lawn. The neighbours thought we were in the RA. I swear to God, we were just... Ireland were in the World Cup or something at the time.
Yeah, but
we just,
you also all had long hair and beards. It wasn't just the flag, lad. There was a couple of other factors as well.
Yeah, no, sorry. I don't mean that we hate England. We don't, of course, hate England. It's just that's the only thing that gets Irish people going, I think. Mm. Like,
I think we could do with being more patriotic, but do people join the army on patriotism grounds? I don't think so. Well, it'd be cool if they did, but I don't think they do.
The army, I'd say, is good crack at times. Like the camaraderie.
But that's it. Like, you're probably in, you know, your battalion or, you know, your platoon, and there's a big group of men and women there, all bound together by one thing and stuff like that. And I think it's a good kind of team spirit, like, you know.
Yeah.
We love the GA because we're all together and there's a big group of us and we have a good fun. It's probably the same in the army.
Yeah, Lauren, you want to mention talking about the crack in the army?
So hurler Colin Fennelly has described life in the Defence Forces as absolute boredom with nothing happening.
So this is Colin Fennelly who won All-Irelands with Kilkenny in hurling.
Yes, so he recently left the army. He said that his time in the Defence Forces had no job satisfaction and that in the army itself there's nothing to do.
Typical Kilkenny. Go on, what did he say?
Yeah, so he spent time in the Lebanon and said there was nothing happening over there. You get your run in and your gym in during the day. That's pretty much it. It was a means to an end, to be honest. I enjoyed it only because I was doing so well with Kilkenny. The Defence Forces then tweeted from their official account in response to the interview, "We are surprised and disappointed to hear these comments from a former member. We take pride in our members who achieve at the highest levels in sport. However, while sport is an integral part of our culture, it is not the only aspect."
So he's good.
I have spoken to a couple of guys just kind of that will be playing sport and in the army as well, and they found it great in terms of their training because they would really, I suppose, help their physical condition, and they could go to work on a Monday and not do a huge amount and might just get their gym session in then as opposed to doing it later in the evening. So there is perks to it, but like, I can't imagine it's overly stimulating.
Yeah, but in fairness to the likes of Colin Fennelly, from what we've been told, the army are fairly accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
So what he experienced in the army was probably not everyone's experience in the army. They were probably like, look, you've got an All-Ireland semi-final at the weekend. We'll take it easy on you this week. So the lad next to him who doesn't have a big match might be getting flogged.
Mm. I remember when he first joined the army, it was the start of September when he was captain with Kilkenny in the All-Ireland, and he was in the, like, at the, like, they did, they, he started his training essentially the same week that he won the All-Ireland with Kilkenny.
Wow.
And he was up at 6 a.m. doing these long, long runs and then had to go and play the All-Ireland at the weekend. Like, so fairly tough and grueling.
How much it'll be interesting to get people who are in the army. Look, if there's anybody listening here, I'm sure there is, that are in the army, get in touch, let us know what it is like.
Yeah, because you do learn a lot of skills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not just, like, that's one of the main positives for joining the army. You get to blow shit up.
Yeah. Who doesn't like shooting guns?
Bang.
You know what I mean? That's good crack. People pay a lot. Yeah, you know. People go to Bratislava and stuff to shoot guns. You can join the army, lad.
Pew, pew. Shoot.
It's not a fucking Western, lad. Spaghetti Western.
Pew, pew.
We're just, you know, talking about getting into the army. You don't shave your head in the Irish army, which is obviously, you know, that would be very important fact if we were to join the army. We could not shave our heads. Like I think people have an idea of what the army is like, you know, Full Metal Jacket job, like some fella screaming in your face, shaving your head. I don't think it's like that, but you do have to have the old cop haircut, I think, in the army.
Yeah, and you can't have any tattoos above your collar.
Okay, I'm safe enough. Your collar here, like. You can have them on your arms and shit. Mm-hmm. I think they should be compulsory that you have them on your arms. You look like a right dangerous fella going around with them all over you. Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of army you want, but, you know. They just look at you and you go, oh shit, yeah. Nah.
Bunch of hard bastards.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Hard jobs, but.
Okay, eligibility. You have to be an Irish citizen, a refugee, you have to be living in Ireland.
You don't have to be a refugee.
If you are a refugee in Ireland,
you can apply, right? And you cannot apply if you're a guard. It's gas, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting?
But you can leave the army and be a guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't do vice versa.
I don't know why.
But you can't, if you've been discharged from the army for misdemeanor, you can't join the guards.
You can't join the guards. Okay.
Too right. What else here? If you've been in prison for a serious offence, if you're undergoing an apprenticeship,
yeah,
that's class.
So if you're an old fitter lad, you can't.
Yeah, too busy laying pipe. Can't join the army, or if you're an asylum seeker, can't join the army.
Oh,
and yeah, the minimum height is
5'2".
5'2".
Yeah. That's fairly small, isn't it?
That's probably a fair enough number. Is it 5'2"?
They have taken that down. It was higher.
It was. So it was the guards.
Yeah. It was higher in previous times. But we're all getting smaller anyway.
Who's getting smaller?
You. I'm telling you now. You look at even kids. They're smaller now than they were 15 years ago.
Yours is bigger.
No.
There's no reason kids should be smaller. The food is... They've an abundance of food nowadays.
There's no facts to back this up. But I'm telling you now. Kids are smaller now. I was the size I was now when I was 17. Telling you that now, you will not find a 17-year-old.
Ah, lad, there's a couple of minors paying for care of their men.
Yeah, but like, I think we were all that little bit bigger. Whereas now there's like a giant and a little tiny lad. They're all scrawny lad, little small fella.
Well, it's a good thing kids don't join the army.
Maybe it's just in Ross Gray.
You have to be 18 to apply for any of them. But you can join, and then the maximum age is 25. If you want to join the army or the Air Corps, you have to be under 25. But if you want to join the Navy, you can be 27.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing now. I might join the army. No way I join the Navy.
Do you know you don't actually have to be able to swim to join the Navy?
Do you know why?
Why?
Because it doesn't matter. If your submarine gets shot, you're fucked. We're 500 feet down. Oh, it's okay. I can breaststroke to the top. Are you mad? You dead. There's no way I would join the Navy. That's some scary shit. Tough.
Like, when I'm on a Stenaline ferry, I'm getting sick. If I'm going over to Liverpool for a match, I get the ferry over, I'm puking out the back of that, like. After eating some dodgy fish and chips, I can't imagine what life in the Navy would be like.
No, that is tough.
I mean, just to sum it up, how do we find out more? Like, I think we should get an expert on the podcast.
We are. We're going to contact the army and get their spokesperson on, and maybe some troops if they're allowed on.
Yeah.
Because we've heard that nowadays there's more lads dropping out of basic training. Mm-hmm. As you said, basic training is 17 weeks to become a 2-star private. And apparently there's a lot of lads dropping out. Young lads are either soft or else they don't know what they're getting themselves in for.
Mm. Young lads and ladies as well.
And ladies sorry, yeah.
Ladies can join the...
Their time is slightly easier, actually. I don't know why that is. A lady can do the 2.4 kilometre run, but they get an extra minute and 30 seconds to do it than the lads. Mm. Lauren, thoughts?
Well, my first thought when I read that was that I could do that now. It isn't that hard.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah, the time is quite easy. I presume it's just like a physiological difference that's why women get a little bit longer.
Yeah, but you know, bullets don't discriminate, Lauren. You know what I mean?
Very valid point. You know?
If you want to become an officer, a cadet training is different. That's a minimum 18 months start on that. But talk about the money. The money isn't massive.
No, the money's poor enough. The money is poor enough.
Handy enough. What are you starting at? Is it worth 350 a week, I think, for a private?
You're starting there.
334 euro for a recruit.
Yeah. Do you know, I was getting that in super value.
Minimum wage.
Yeah, minimum wage, basically.
And out of that, is there a certain amount? It's like 40 quid or something goes for your rations for the week, your grub.
Yeah.
Your digs. To the man on tea.
To the man on tea, lad. It didn't go out. That's rations, yeah. That sounds grim, like you'd be eating old Plumpy Nut or something, like, is it?
Yeah, Plumpy Nut.
Do you know?
A sergeant major is on 740 euro a week.
I know you're talking. Jesus. Yeah.
Second lieutenant.
It takes you a fair while, though, to get to that. You know what I mean? That's a lot of work to get to that stage, like.
A captain. Oh, if I was going to join the army, I'd want to be a captain. I don't know what he does. I would just love to be Captain Johnny. Like.
Captain John.
What rank is Jim Gavin? Dublin senior football manager. He's very high up.
He's in the Air Corps.
Is it?
He's in the Air Corps, yeah. Because we met him recently and didn't want to talk football. And I was like, oh, Jim, a lot of plane crashes lately.
So yeah, what we're saying on the money thing is it's not fantastic. It's not excellent. But
you wouldn't be joining for the money.
No, definitely not. No. Definitely not. Would we join? I don't think I would.
No, I think we both probably thought about it when we came out of school, but yeah. It's a no from me.
It's a no from us. Lauren?
No, I'd love to say I was able to pass all those tests and pass the training, but
what about the Army Reserves?
What used to be the FCA?
Yeah. I'd like to have the gear.
Yeah, no, I'd love the full camo gear, like, but like, no, I don't think I'd like to.
Gun. When would they give me a gun?
You don't get guns, lad, in the reserves. You don't go, like, it's not some sort of a place you sign up and you're like, yeah, sign that there. Now, here's your fucking rifle.
But the boys were telling me they'd have guns. They're like, the recruits and all would be doing stationed outside the Curragh and they'd have a big machine gun hanging out of them. Yeah. The weight of it.
Yeah. Again, don't think that's the reserves, lad.
No, they're recruits.
Oh yeah, the real deal.
The privates, yeah.
Yeah.
Lad in care joined the army and there's not a pick on him.
Yeah, he's so lean. He's leaner than a butcher's knife on Good Friday, lad. I swear it'll probably work for me for that regard. So look, we'll give it a go. We'll get an expert on and we'll talk more about it in the coming weeks. He's the only man to score a goal and a point with one shot, so he claims. It's time for Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
You okay, Noel?
I'm young, Vlad.
Well, Noel, how are you?
Fine.
Good.
Just halfway through a custard cream.
Okay, good man.
You have new spectacles on?
Yeah, I had to get glasses.
You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Yeah. Bound to catch up on you.
I'm going blind, yeah.
You're doing too much of that shaking the bottle. And I warn you about that.
Oh, God. Do you like him?
No.
Okay.
Just quickly, do you remember last week I had a story about a stone statue of the head of the Egyptian pharaoh, Tutankhamun?
Yeah.
And it was for sale. Just to follow up, it sold $6 million. $6 million, some cash for a bit of stone.
Wow.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, I should probably sell that ancient arrowhead I have at home. Did I ever tell you about that?
No.
It's from the Stone Age. And I'd want big money for it.
How?
Well, you see, I would want big money for it because I went through two angle grinder blades making it. And Egypt is suing. They're going suing Christie's auction house. And I have to say, I'm very disappointed in Christie. I remember him when he started. Cattle auction. On the mart. 25. Sold to the man who looks like his butt. Now, Christy was very good. Now, we're going to get straight into news. No faffing about this week. News story number one. Hampshire in England, right? Possibly a kip. I don't know. I was never there. And aren't I doing okay? Doing fine without going. But there's a man there called Tom Carter, and he's stone broke. He's like Mike Denver's dream of becoming Ireland's most stylish man.
That's Irish.
Broken. His children spent all his money. Tom, right? Tell you how. The kids, right? I know children spent the money. You think it'd be the wife, but anyway. The kids in England nowadays play a game on the computer called FIFA. And you wouldn't believe this, but FIFA is lads playing soccer on a computer.
Yeah, FIFA.
Can you not play it outside? Have they no feet? Have they no legs? Have they no boots? Not go outside and play? Are they unwell? Like, why are they pretending to play a game on the computer that they can just go outside and play?
That's all they're going now, computer games.
Just up, down, 1, 2, X.
Yeah.
Some fella on screen drinks a pint. I'll drink it. I do it in real life. And I mean, I don't go home and put on a video of someone else tackling Carmel.
Do it yourself.
If someone's going to do battle with that woman, let it be me. I'll tangle, okay? So these young boys playing FIFA, they chose the team that they want to play as, right? You choose what team you want to be. But in the game, which Mr. Tom Carter said he paid about £40 for the game. Big money. You can buy more players, about £10 to go. And you buy what they call a player pack, but you don't know who's in the pack. So when you pay the £10, you could get Ronaldo or you could get Tommy Magno. You don't know who you're getting. Young Tommy, you know Tommy.
I know Tommy, yeah.
Like, he's fit, but he's not going to win you a World Cup. So Mr. Carter, he bought the kids one player pack. And didn't he realise they seen how he did it? So when he went off to work... Did I interrupt you?
Siri. On the phone.
Who's that?
Oh, you must have triggered the old iPhone.
Siri. Have you someone on the phone?
No.
Hang up, will you? No. I'm in the middle of the news. That's the height of ignorance. Pardon me when I make a phone call in your face. Now, as I was explaining before you interrupted me, he bought one of these player packs and the children seen how he did it. So when he went off to work, they bought a fucking heap of him. Oh. They bought every player they wanted. They went bye. And he didn't know there was anything wrong until he went to the shop and his card got turned down. They'd spent all his money.
Oh my God.
Inside in the FIFA. The young lads emptied out his bank account. And still, they didn't get their favourite player, Lionel Messi.
Wow.
I think they got most of the burn court back four. No sign yet of Brian Irwin. So be careful where you enter your bank details because children are pricks. And now in fairness to Nintendo, they did give him a refund.
Nintendo. Okay, I thought it was maybe a PlayStation or an Xbox.
No, it was a Nintendo. Okay. Switch. And the father has thrown the Nintendo out the window.
Good man.
So that is story number one. Just be careful where you're entering your bank account. And my second story of the week, I have a right woman for you.
Oh, lovely.
I have a right woman for you. Lauren is dying of consumption. Is he looking after you well?
Who?
Johnny Stacks.
Ah, he is, yeah. I made me a cup of tea there earlier. Oh, feeling a bit under the better, Noel.
Okay. This woman, she's 29 years of age. She sings. She's not a great woman for tarts or bacon.
Okay.
But last year she earned $185 million.
I like her already.
You could probably just buy a tart. I mean, I don't know how much tarts go for these days, but surely. Her name, Anne Doyle. No, it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. It's Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds like a kind of bad solicitor's firm to me. Mr. Taylor and Mr. Swift. But anyway, Taylor Swift is a singer. Did you ever hear of her?
Yeah.
Laura?
Yeah, I saw her live last year in Crow Park.
Go away.
I did, yeah.
I never heard of her. You know what I mean? They don't play her on Tip Midwest, so I wouldn't have heard of her.
No, they don't.
But she had a big song called Look What You Made Me Do, which is what I say to Huey in the Shamrock of a Sunday morning after 15 pints. Last week, I stole an ostrich.
How did you manage that?
Oh, there's a farm out to Clamel Road. Things got out of hand. I punched the ostrich right in the neck. That's a story for another day.
It's a disclaimer there. We don't agree with animal cruelty here in the podcast.
If he wants to dance, I'll dance. He pecked me first. I didn't peck him. She have another song called I Don't Want to Live Forever. And that's after she went on a night out in Mullingar. She wrote another hit song then called I Knew You Were Trouble, which she wrote after she had her heart broken by Pat Kenny. He's a bad boy.
He's a bad
boy. Now, I'm talking about her because the list is out of the highest earners and she tops the list of celebs. She did a few gigs, pubs, community halls, that kind of thing. And her tour brought in last year $226 million before tax. Okay. So I don't know how honest she is now. I hope there was no one taking any photos of them gigs. $226 million big grand for cash, wouldn't it? Number two on the list of celebs. Have a guess.
Kim Kardashian.
I don't know who that is. It's Kylie Jenner.
Jenner.
Kylie Jenner. Again, a girl I didn't know about. She's from America. And she sells makeup. And she started selling makeup lipstick kits for $29 in 2015, and now she's worth $1 billion.
Wow.
And she's 21 years old, and she have $1 billion. Imagine that. When I was 21, I had to fight my father for the second sport. He had the head of the table, and I didn't agree with this at all. I wanted to move out and start my own thing, my own little empire. So when I was a child, neither of us would accept the other one at the head of the table. I had to get a second table so that we could both sit at the head of the table. Jeez, the mother was broke up going from table to table. Brother Ty came along then. He had the same idea. He sat out in the yard. He refused to be outmanned by either of us.
Oh my God.
Great respect for Ty. But he was ahead of his own table. I'll give him that. He might have been out in the yard, but he was his own man when he was a boy. Third on the list of celebs, Kanye West, the lad who sells the tuna. A lot of people eating tuna these days.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go easy, there'd be none of it left. Number four, Leo Messi, the footballer.
Yeah.
He kicked soccer with Barcelona since 2003. He has played 687 matches and scored 603 goals and won 10 Liga titles.
La Liga, yeah.
I had that when I was minor. And he made $127 million last year.
Wow.
And I didn't.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Number five on the list of celebs' earnings. Ed Sheeran, the singer.
Not Ed.
Not Ed Sheeran. Clahine of the sawmill. But he could have big money too, but you wouldn't know. He wouldn't tell you. And Sheeran got $110 million from his tour last year. That's some money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some cash. That's the richness. But you know who else is making some money from his tour?
Well.
Muddy Burke. He picks up these Americans at the airport and he takes them on a tour and he goes to the Cliffs of Carlow.
No.
And he goes to the tropical rainforest of Wexford.
Oh my God.
And then there's a Native American burial ground in Duro. And he charges them a fortune because no one else can give this tour. The big companies can't find these places.
Oh.
So Muddy Burke, he knows the spots to go. And when he told me about the tour now, in fairness, he was quite drunk.
Was he? Yeah.
But he might get on the list yet.
Someday.
Yeah. Top earning man in the world last year, everybody included. Laura?
McGregor?
No. Sure, he's a celeb. He'd have been on that list.
Mark Zuckerberg?
I don't know who he is now. No, it was Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
All right. Jeez.
He must be logging timber in the Amazon. Or something I don't know, and I want to cut it down. Just, lads, very sad note on the local news. I would have brought this sooner, but it was just too painful. I had to take some time to compose myself and let the news settle. If there's any small children listening, I strongly advise you turn off now. The death has occurred of Bruce the Goose. Bruce was one of the head geese down at the castle. A very popular goose with local people. He was hit by a grey car at 9:10 Friday week. And he was killed dead. The car that hit Bruce the Goose then drove off without stopping, said eyewitness Mark the Badger. Gardaí have been contacted, but knocking down a goose is like being stupid. It's not illegal, but it is frowned upon. Local councillor Andy Maloney, who ye had on the show here.
We did.
He organised a candlelit vigil for Bruce the Goose. Prayers to the faithful were read by Sharon the Squirrel. Family flowers only. Bird nuts if desired. To the geese and ducks at the castle. And the whole committee were there.
Were they?
The whole committee were there. There was Mary Carey. Tara Mara, Julie Malooly, Karen Barron, and Pauline Harty. Refreshments were served afterwards in the Shamrock Lounge, and they put on some spread in fairness to them now.
Did they?
And I must have it 9 pounds of cocktail sausages. I didn't even know the goose. We gave him a good send off.
That's the job.
We gave him a good send off now, and Andy disposed of the body.
Did he?
Yeah, now I don't know whether he buried him or cooked him, but what, after this terrible hit and run incident, our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Bruce the Goose.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. May he forever be happy out.
May he forever be happy out.
Just a few things to follow up on last week's Noel's News. Tutankhamun, right? A lot of people on to me about Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
He was mummified when he was buried, right? With an erect penis.
Whoa.
That is a fact.
That's some gone.
Yeah, what a way to go. What a way to die.
On a rager.
Yeah. I definitely want to die on a horn.
Yeah.
Oh, when I go up to meet St. Peter, or the divil, whoever it is. The divil. I want to be on a full horn. And a loaded gun, and they won't refuse me entrance.
No.
Let there be no confusion. I want to have the biggest lad in heaven. I'm going to do some damage.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell all them angels, shut your mouth when Cameron gets here. Also on the car boot sale, still no sign of a fine-haired German Shepherd pup that I'm looking to buy. If anyone out there is selling a German Shepherd pup, you can contact us here. And also I'm looking for a good panel beater.
Right.
Because Carmel came home from town there last week and she had a wicked dent in the front of the car.
What colour is your car?
She's driving a grey car. And there's fucking bird's feathers coming out of every which way out of the car. So.
Oh, brilliant stuff, Noah.
Looking
thanks
for
so
a
much.
Good panel beater, if any you know one.
Good man. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, God willing.
God willing.
Good luck.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast and use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to have your say. And you can get in touch with us on Instagram at the2johnnies and check out the2johnnies.ie. And you can also email us at podcast@the2johnnies.ie. She's taking a break from posing in her bikini and rambling the cliffs of Moher to be here with us this week. Lauren, what's your mystery topic this week?
So we've actually already kind of discussed this smacks this morning. I'm glad it's quite topical.
Oh,
this came up naturally in conversation. But in the wake of the USA women's team winning back-to-back World Cup titles, there's been an awful lot of chat in the media about the payment they're receiving. And their captain, Megan Rapinoe, mm-hmm. Has been quite vocal about them not earning as much as the male team. So I want to know your thoughts on that. I have some facts and figures here. Let me know if you want me to hit you with them now or later. Set the scene, give you a bit of context. Will I hit you with those?
No, we don't want facts.
Facts would just taint my judgment.
Who's paying them? They want to be paid more. Who's paying them?
So they would get prize money from FIFA for winning the World Cup. They would have received $4 million in prize money.
The organisation?
The USA, yeah. In comparison to $38 million received by France for winning
for
the World
winning
Cup.
The Men's World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the Men's World Cup brings in some twine.
Mm. So you think that's kind of the deciding factor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get more people to go to the game?
It's tough in that regard, in that... Yeah, you know, you're hoping for men and women to be paid the same mm-hmm. as they are in tennis.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. But I don't think they are in golf.
I don't think they are in golf either. I know all four Grand Slams in tennis this year is the first year they've all been paid the exact same.
Women's tennis is class.
Yeah, but Camila, you have not moved me. How many people watch the men's like Masters versus how many people watch the women's Masters?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the soccer, so basically their argument was that they wanted to get paid as much as the USA men's team, Not that they wanted the same as France or Brazil or so the USA, they earned, the women's team earned higher revenues than the men's USA team. Wait, team games.
They brought in more money.
The women brought in more money in terms of TV viewership and the commercial side of things than the men's team. TV ratings have been higher than the men's finals were. So in the US, the TV ratings were higher for the women's World Cup than the men's World Cup. There's more US women's team merchandise sold. Their jersey is the top-selling jersey ever from the Nike website.
Wow. Well, in that regard, then, they definitely deserve to be the best. I think the point that we're trying to make is, like, yeah, they should be paid equally when they're bringing in the same amount, mm-hmm. you know, or more, mm-hmm. then definitely there should be... Like, if you look at, say, Wimbledon and the tennis, like, the women's tennis is every bit as good as the men's tennis. It's every bit the same entertaining. The Soccer World Cup, for me, no disrespect.
Just wasn't
as good as the men's World Cup. Like, just not as...
But you know what's kind of a tricky thing for me on the other side of the tennis? Like, Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer might play out five unbelievable sets and they'll, like, the prize money is $2.9 million.
Great.
And then the female final, it's only three sets.
Yeah.
And they win the same.
They win the exact same amount of money. So they actually play less tennis. So they earn the exact same.
Handy money.
A lot of money in tennis, though.
I'd play three sets myself.
Yeah, for that money, geez, I would. I think the point that we're trying to hit is that.
Is it not indexed to how much you're generating?
Yeah, as in, like, it's a percentage of whatever you're bringing in. Yeah.
Like, you know, a fourth division team don't get paid as much as Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because they don't bring in as much.
Yeah. I think it has to be on revenue. Like, look, it's a business thing at the end of the day. Like, you know, if you want to make good money in Atten, you got to be bringing it in.
Because it has to come from somewhere. Like, you can't just decide, like, we need to get paid the same as the guys. Who's going to pay it? Like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially at club level. Like from what I picked up the other day, from what... Rapino was saying was, oh, we want to be, like, the article I seen was, we want to be paid the same as men. And I was thinking, you're not going to be paid 300,000 like Messi is.
Their average salary is about $50,000 a year, and they all have, like, part time jobs, so they're gone back to work this week after winning the World Cup.
That's, would a grand a week not do you in America? I suppose not. What's that, 800 euro a week would it be?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and the figures for attendances is quite low as well.
Yeah, at their soccer, the club games.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, do you know what I mean? I think that's what it is. It's how much interest they're getting surrounding the game is probably going to relate to your wages. And I think that's the way it has to be.
But
it's a business model.
If the American Soccer Federation, the women's arm of it, has the money, they might have the lead, and they say we'll pay the women a bit better. Each club might be slightly operating at a loss then, but we can subsidize it in order to bring in the top athletes. Here's a woman, she's thinking of going for the Olympics as a sprinter, but she's also classed as soccer. You know, can you draw in a higher standard of athlete, or should you spend that money on advertising and, you know, jazzing up the game a bit, like, to get more bums on seats?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Like, you could say, okay, then the tip footballers shouldn't get the same treatment as the tip hurlers, because the tip hurlers bring in more money. Sure, how are the footballers ever going to grow if they don't get looked after the same?
See, isn't that one of the arguments for, like, the GAA turning professional? Like, how can you justify paying, I don't know, the Leitrim hurlers the same as the Dublin footballers? Like,
you couldn't, because they don't bring
in
as much.
And I find as well the responsibilities kind of being shifted away from the girls themselves in this. Like, they're kind of expecting to be paid and expecting other people to generate the media interests. Mm. Like, how much of a responsibility do you think is on them to build a brand themselves?
Definitely. That young one that went out and celebrated by pretending to drink a cup of tea, that got her on all the newspapers. Mm.
Yeah.
Gotta do something different.
She'd probably get, like, something off Barry's Tina or something.
But yeah, because her name will be rememberable and recognisable.
Now, your one Rapino's giving it a good go. I seen her, like, giving a big yolk, giving out about Donald Trump the other day. I was just thinking, like, Jesus Christ, come on, we're sick of that now.
Yeah.
A bit tired of that. Stick to the soccer. I don't know, Lauren, it's a tough one.
I think in principle I agree with them, but I think logistically it's just not feasible.
In principle, like, you know, we should all be treated equal.
But, like, you know what you're saying, like, isn't that why McGregor got such crowds at his fights? Because he talked the talk beforehand. So if the women's USA soccer team were to do a bit of trash talking, or, you know, I don't know, sex up their gear a bit, like, everyone would be like, oh my god, I have to see this game. Like,
very sexist of you, John. Very sexist.
But come here, I'm just saying, I do take your point, Lauren, that there's probably something we could all be doing. If we wanted to get more crowds at KRGA games, we could come on here and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
even that wouldn't help, to be honest.
come watch us lose.
Oh, great mystery topic, Lauren. That's be interesting to get people's feedback on
What do you think, Lauren?
I think, like, as a woman, I'd obviously love to see that there be equality between the two. But I think until, like, you have to offer a product that is of the same value at the same time. And like, as you can't just decide I need to be paid, as you said, the 300,000 a year. Like, where is it going to come from? You need to bring in that money in order to distribute it back out again. So,
fact.
Yep.
Fact about it. Nice one, Lauren.
Now it's time for a segment most men pretend to hate but secretly love and tune into every night at 9 o'clock. Max has written that I do too. I've started keeping an eye on Love Island.
You are watching it every night.
I'm half watching it. It is, of course, Love Island, and Smax is here with his unique and sometimes harsh take on all things Love Island related. Go.
Mystic Mac is back in the house, man. Last week's predictions. You remember the predictions last week?
What did you predict?
I predicted Anna would get back with Jordan. Tick that box. Ding. Okay. I said Maura will leave Marvin and pursue Curtis.
Ding.
Yeah, got that. Michael and Amber will get back together.
Hasn't happened yet.
Didn't get that one. Jordan and Danny will be the next to leave the villa. Ding. Got that right, right? So, you know, it's like Meatloaf said, 304 ain't bad.
Fair enough.
Or was it 203 ain't bad? Either way, I'm on fire and that's a class song. Okay.
As Bruce Springsteen said.
Yeah, as Bruce Springsteen said, lad, you know.
I'm on fire.
Born in the USA. The reaction montage I was asking for last week. It's a bit like the Nace Roadworks. You know, work in progress.
Okay.
It's slow. It's slow, but we're getting there. So get them into me at podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie and on Instagram. Get your reactions of people watching Love Island. Because I don't know about you, but I'd be jumping around the couch in excitement. The other night, I shook with excitement. I was so happy. I'll get on to that in a minute. Now, what caught my eye this week? A lot of ins and outs in the villa this week. And I'm not just referring to what happened between Molly May and Tommy in the hideaway. Oi, oi. Few ins and outs there. I say, let's start with the outs, right? So Danny and Jordan left, as I predicted. Danny, otherwise known as the travel agent. Anyone who gets close to him, lad, is out of villa, right? So that's him and Jordan are gone, and he was with Arabella. She was gone. Poor Yoande.
Yoande.
She was gone. She got the Ryanair flight home as well. So anyone Danny seems to touch left, and, you know, it obviously rubbed off on himself, and he left. Also, Lucy and George left. Lucy, big loss to the villa. She'd put a horn on a snowman. I thought she was the best looking in it by a million miles.
By a mile. And Lucy is a big loss to that TV show.
Yeah, and poor old George. Lad, he has the charisma now of a mandarin orange.
Mm.
The one, he very rarely spoke on the show, and the one thing he did ask was one day he said to Lucy, can I pull you for a chat? And he pulled her for a chat. And you know what he said to her? What's your favourite snack?
Depends though.
What, like, some fucking some, melt, like.
Some lads can put off that random chat, like. Also, couldn't.
Also this week, Amy left.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Amy left. And in fairness to her, she stated how much she didn't want this to be dramatic. And she didn't want to make a big deal out of her leaving. So she only gave a 15-minute leaving speech. And bawled her eyes out. It was Oscar winning. And Marvin's gone.
Who?
Marvin, yeah, exactly. Marvin's gone back now to being the face of the pizza boxes down in Enzo's.
I have to post that. He's the head off your man on the pizza box.
There's, like, in our local Chippers, you get the pizza and there's, like, a fella on the pizza box. And I'm fucking telling you now, he's the bulb off Marvin. Inns this week. Chris came in. New guy Chris came in. He kind of reminds me of Owen McDermott.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that big nest on his head. You know, big massive head of hair, like.
Yeah?
Yeah, he reminded me a bit. He's less than 9. I'm only messing. Francesca came in as well.
Okay. Your thoughts?
Her eyebrows are weird.
Are they?
Do you know the baby in The Simpsons?
Oh yeah, the evil baby.
Yeah, the evil baby. That's what her eyebrows remind me of. And she does this thing where she, like, raises one eyebrow. So do you remember when we were young lads, we used to always be watching wrestling, and The Rock would do the people's eyebrow, which is like,
yeah.
You can't see now, obviously, on the podcast, but I'm raising my eyebrow. And she keeps doing that, and it's just freaking me out. It's just, I'm just not happy with it. Like, but she'd be class in the Cadbury's ad. She's in the Cadbury's ad with the eyebrows. Yeah, so I think that's maybe a future for her. Now, things hotted up in the villa when the dance contest came in. Remember the dance contest? So the idea was the women would come out first and lap dance for the men, and whoever's heart rate got raised the most, you know, they decide a winner, and then the men done the same. I have to say, I had to put a cushion on my lap watching that. Oh yeah, you know what? yeah. You know, tootin' camming job, lad. Tootin' camming job. Curtis came out then to dance for the women. And he looked like King Julian from Madagascar.
I did.
He looked the head off King Julian. Put your hands up in the air, Maurice. This is so much fun. Honestly, he looked the bulb off.
He looked quite camp, to be honest.
And the rest of the boys just looked like the cast of The Inbetweeners dancing around. It was just weird. You know, the men aren't really able to dance. But they came out to different songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, Curtis came out to a samba song and another lad came out to This and That Pony by Genuine. And I want to know, Lauren and Johnny B., what songs would you come out? And if you were to do that little lap dance thing, that sexy dance, magic mic job, Johnny B., start with you. What song would you come out to?
You'd probably want to pick a theme so that your outfit should match the song.
Wow, you've thought about this.
I have not. Now, one or two of the lads went out kind of funny. But that was good, right? That's good for the crack and all. But they immediately lose the contest.
Okay, okay.
If you come out to crack any kind of joke, you relax a person. Heart rate goes down.
Okay.
So
you want to keep him ticking.
Yeah.
Go on.
Hard to Beat Pony.
But Genuine. Boop. Boop. I'm just a bachelor. So would you come out to that?
That or A Woman's Heart.
By Mary Black. Lauren.
I'm trying to flick through my Spotify here. You have to put me on the spot.
What would you dress up as? Or, you know, have you ever done that before?
No,
I don't know what you want to get up to in Clare, you know?
I have not. What would I dress up as? I'd really go with the Mora slant. Mora was looking well.
In the leather, the old leotard, or whatever
the cat
it is.
Get cat, up.
Cat suit.
The cat suit. What song?
So Lauren the Cat. Meow.
I don't know. Bill Dermot Kennedy.
Bill Dermot Kennedy. That's fucking depressing. You kill someone's heart rate with that stuff. So, you know... Yeah, didn't really unveil too much there from that. Johnny B's going to come out to a song that was already on the other night, and Lauren's coming out to Dermot Kennedy.
Okay, maybe a bit of like Biggie Smalls or something.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of drum and bass shit, man.
Yeah, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
I'd come out to Joe Dolan, good looking woman. And I'd come out in a white suit, and I'd rip it off then, and I'd have not known any little silver tongue. You're a good looking woman! And I'd be driving her then, like.
Yeah. I'd be behind you with the baby oil.
Yeah, you're just squirting baby oil up at me. Yeah, so that's really what caught my eye this week. A lot of changes. I think next week is going to be very good. Predictions for next week. I'm going to go with three more. New guy Chris will leave.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not happening. You know, that nest, people aren't into that anymore. So, 1997, busted. We will all fall in love with Ovi. If we haven't already. He's got game, man. He's funny. I think Curtis he's coupled up with Francesca. Francesca picked him. I think he will be back with Maura by this time next week. And I also believe this is the week Michael and Amber will get back together.
My prediction, from what I've seen, Curtis is wary of Maura.
He's afraid of her, right?
He's too professional and too
polished.
Too considered in his replies to Maura. Maura asks him a question. And his response is thought about and is managed.
Too vanilla for our Mara. We're loving Mara. We're very proud of her here in Ireland.
My prediction, Mara's single.
Do you reckon?
Nobody picks Mara.
Ooh, Jesus.
She's not girlfriend material. Great crack. Great TV. Gas woman.
She needs to really meet her match.
Yeah. She needs. We need the male version of Mara in that
villa.
Who
would you put her in? Who would you think is her perfect match? If you were to pick someone now.
Probably Johnny B.
I'd have a crack off
him. Yeah, he'd have a fair go. He'd have a fair go. Lastly, I just want to ask the people who are watching Love Island, listening to this podcast, am I the only one who fast forwards through the recoupling until he gets to the juicy bits?
It is quite boring.
So that's what I do. I know, like, oh, there's fucking Michael. He's going to pair up with her, blah, 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 fast forward. And I just leave it then until, like, there's a decisive recoupling.
Yeah.
Saving time. That's all I'm doing. I just want to know, am I the only one that does that, or am I some sort of a weirdo?
Man, who would be a good, like, a famous person to couple up with Maura? Send us in your thoughts. That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go. Famous person to pair up with Maura. We can try and get him in the villa.
Stormzy,
yeah. Someone now who quite, you know. Maybe Mike Denver. We'll see. I'll be back next week with more of a Love Island Roundup. And finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time, where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week.
Yurt and Dirt.
Can I kick us off with me dirt?
Go.
You know my ongoing hatred of paper straws?
Yes.
Thing is, people are starting to use the metal straws. You know, and your mother bought me the metal straws.
Yes.
To do my bit for the planet. Someone was killed the other day
By a metal straw.
By a metal straw.
Yep.
It went in through their eye and pierced their brain.
Yep.
So I'm saying that wouldn't have happened with a plastic straw. And this debate rumbles on. Bring back the plastic straw. Listen, I know we all have to do our bit for the planet. But these straws are killing people now. It's getting out of hand.
Johnny, I have the solution.
Well,
rubber straws.
No, they don't feel nice down your mouth.
Telling you, I saw somebody sent me a video of a rubber straw. You could tie it up in a knot and it's still reusable.
Okay. Rubber straws, the debate rumbles on.
If you want a plastic straw, just get, remember as kids, you had those big windy plastic straws that you could reuse.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that they're disposable. Like your coffee cups are plastic, but they're reusable.
Yeah, but the metal ones, lad, they kill someone.
You can get a bamboo straw.
They're murderers.
Get a bamboo straw.
Straws are murderers now. I'm telling you that now.
That's your dirt.
Yeah, back to plastic.
My dirt of the week is, we were on the road a good bit this week, a couple of service stations, and I saw it again. Grown men going into the Jacks, not washing their hands. Animals. If you go to a service station, you're eating. What are you eating? Goujons.
Yeah.
Jambons. Chips.
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Wraps, rolls. All eaten with your hands. If the person behind the counter didn't wash their hands, you'd have them sacked.
Yeah, that's true.
You're animals, lads. Wash your hands, mother of God.
My yurt of the week. According to the Connacht Tribune, the Saw Doctors coming back. Read an article there yesterday, Johnny. I think you actually sent it to me.
Mm.
And Davey Carton from the Saw Doctors was quoted as saying, "The voice is in a good place and singing's the only thing I know how to do. So hopefully we'll get back on the road." This is an urgent plea to the Saw Doctors. Please get back together.
Grant, because I rang Leo.
Well.
First he's heard of it. Apparently the reporter bumped into Davey and Davey was like, "Yeah, we, you know, my voice is back. It'd be great if we got back together." But it's not indefinite. So...
For fuck, I'm off.
Like Davey's voice been back is a big step.
Yeah.
That's step one.
Yeah.
So that opens the door.
Get back together, lads.
Will you?
Get back together. Johnny,
Just wait until after we've done our tour.
Yeah, please.
I want to give a big shout out to Carlo Man. A man from Carlo. Marcus Lawler. He won bronze medal at the World University Games in Naples during the week. He did a 200 meter sprint, which is the distance from the foundry to the taxi rank.
Right.
No, he was representing Carlo IT. And they won a bronze medal at the World University Games.
Fair play, that's something going
on. Carlo.
On Carlo, mate. Carlo rising, lads.
Yeah.
That's it this week from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
And from me, Lauren.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel again.
It's the Two Johnny's Podcast. The Two Johnny's Podcast.
Two Johnny's recording a podcast.